Oh, that's Sleepy Jay Inslee. Someone lit a bug under the sky. I think it's all the criticism on the show. I really do. I think we've just so gotten under his skin that he sent one of his special advisors out to make an accord with a bunch of states. Sleepy Jay Inslee put together an 8-state accord. And if I'm reading this right, it involved putting one of his special advisors up into a... And normally it's Sleepy Jay that likes to go hit the airplanes. But if I'm reading this correctly, this document was signed at Denver, Colorado. The document, an 8-state accord. The document, as his special advisor said here, his special advisor, quote,
with states as varied in political persuasion as Wyoming and Washington and North Carolina and Vermont, there's a lot of compromise, a lot of back and forth to come up with something everybody can agree on.
Sleepy Jay Inslee's special advisor. Oh, the agreement? Oh, it's big. It's big. It was signed at the Denver's Outdoor Retailer Summer Market. Big. It's huge. It's important. Yeah, it's an agreement to promote outdoor recreation. You know, it's huge.
We got the best weed in the United States.
That's what it is. No, that's what it is. That's it. That's it. Now, I mean, there's more to the story. Because did you know that we have a guy working for us named John Snyder, John, J-O-N, Snyder. He's the Washington State's Inslee's policy advisor for outdoor recreation and economic development. Why did we not know this?
Okay, probably the most transparent administration in our state's history. And I'm
right,
proud of that.
Right. Is there any chance that maybe there are government groups that don't need to do this? Is there any chance that maybe REI or maybe some of the hotels or maybe some of the tour companies or maybe some of the cruise companies, maybe some of the private businesses up here, say Airbnbs, etc., ad nauseum, do you think that they might be interested in promoting outdoor recreation?
They put that debt on my grandchildren.
Do we really think we need to have a bureaucrat fly on an airplane to Denver to sign a piece of paper that says they're going to work together to promote outdoor recreation? Then someone had to get paid to write a press release on this. Someone probably had to go back and forth.
I'd say we change the word the. No, but on the press release, I noticed that Governor Inslee's name. Oh no, it is. It's. I thought it was misspelled.
Trying to think of things to evolve on the press release, trying to justify their salaries. Sleepy Jay, getting her done. Sideshow Bob, you know what he says, right? You know about Sideshow Bob. Now he's suing, and I don't want to freak you out. I don't want to alarm you. This could come as a great big surprise. Sideshow Bob is suing Donald Trump.
The law matters. It's not an abstract notion, the law. The law has a huge impact on the people of this country, and that's why upholding the Constitution matters so much.
So the case is 3D printed guns. Sideshow Bob wants to sue over this decision. Now, how did the decision come about? We talked about this. We've talked about this ad nauseum. We started talking about it almost 3 years ago. The gentleman who invented this code has been through rounds, 2 or 3 years of battles with the federal government. He finally forced the Justice Department to surrender because he went at this the right way. free speech, pardon me, computer code in America is free speech. That's been established. It gives its protections. It allows people to be able to share it freely, to put their own regulations around it. It's free speech. It's well-established law. Now, of course, that's not going to stop Sideshow Bob from stepping into this because, of course, it's guns because Bob is panicked about people who are going to buy a... How much are the printers? How much are they? 5,000 to 15 grand. This isn't going to be a hobbyist thing.
Maybe the drug cartels would do that.
Well, but Bob, you love drug cartels. We know that. We know that because you bring them into Seattle.
The law matters.
You know that because you're ignoring the fact that they are congregating here. You ignore the fact that the feds are near here now having to come and make arrests because you won't do it. You won't sue your cities for allowing heroin on the loose, for allowing the cartels on the loose. You won't step up into that. Sure, the cartels might buy these printers. You didn't care in the first place, Bob. But guess what? They don't need the 3D printed guns. They're criminals. They don't follow the law. But this is a fundraiser. That's all it is. This is Sideshow Bob. Raising funds. Working with people like this who, of course, hate guns in every possible way. This is from King 5 News. Someone who hates guns. For some reason, King 5 News didn't give us their name. But we're reporting as King 5 News' content.
We have a public health crisis on our hands.
Gabe, did you know your gun is making you sick? Because I didn't. Apparently, your gun gives you the coughs. And the shivers.
We have a public health crisis on our hands.
Okay, so the reason they want to make it a public health crisis. You know why, right? Because the heroin judge, Veronica Alicia Galvan, appointed by Sleepy Jay Inslee. She pretended... When she stole your right to vote against the government-funded heroin dens, her name? Oh, yeah, it's Veronica Alicia Galvan. She's going to be up for re-election next year. Well, not re-election, because she was appointed. Veronica Alicia Galvan pretends King County residents don't have the right to vote on anything related to public health. That's why they're trying to make this a public health issue. This guy here wheezing about guns.
We have a public health crisis on our hands. Over 700 Washingtonians... Over 35,000 people across this country die in a given year due to gun violence.
No, incorrect. So let's go through this again one more time for the remedial. It's two-thirds is suicide. Of the remaining one-third, about two-thirds of that are predictable gang violence between gangs, just so we're clear. Also, so we're clear, well, I'll clear it up after he continues his wheezing.
And it's a public health crisis. There will be no single solution.
Except it's not a public health crisis. It's crime. Car theft is not a health crisis. Drunk driving, you might make a health crisis because it involves addictions. People shooting one another with guns is not a health crisis. It's crime.
But we have to take action. And this gun safety action plan is a multifaceted response to that public health crisis.
Yeah, and suing... to stop a $5,000 to $15,000 printer from distributing this. You can sue all you want. The code's out there. You can sue until you're blue in the gourd. The code's out there. People continue to play these games in our area. The media continues to play these games. I want to give huge shout out to Matt Markovich at Como. Matt Markovich at Como was one of the first journalist to call out the fact that this fire that occurred up north, this fire that occurred around the homeless camp, Matt Markovich had the stones to call out early that this was, in fact, a homeless camp that went bad.
The couple lived at the burned-out camp where we found needles and foil to cook drugs. The fire department believes it started as a cooking fire.
We can't definitively say that's the cause, but that there is suspicion.
In April, a quarter mile away on I-5, another homeless camp burned. Both fires are on state property managed by the Washington Department of Transportation. But when it comes to a decision to clear these camps, WashDOT says it doesn't have the resources to do it alone and needs help from the city.
That it is a joint decision, and we offer our suggestions. It comes down to resources. Really?
So we've got clear and present danger of homeless camps burning next to the freeway, next to homes, nothing to done, be done. Sideshow Bob, nothing to say. But we have the abstract idea of someone somewhere printing a 3D gun, fire up the lawsuit machine. Sleepy Jay Inslee, Why the difference in how this is all treated?
It's based on ideology and politics rather than the facts on the ground.
Okay, I was kind of figuring that's what you would say. Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH. A veritable explosion of Trump derangement syndrome stories. I do mean a veritable explosion. Sit back and enjoy the syndrome as we observe it from afar. So you do not have to love everything the president does. You don't have to love every aspect of his personality. You have to just be sane and able to sit back and say, I love Brett Kavanaugh. I love Justice Gorsuch. I love the tax cuts. I love the regulatory reform. I love the fact that Iran. Well, I'm doing a big segment on this tomorrow. A huge segment. Iran is in the toughest spot Iran has been in maybe 40 years because of the way the president has gone at this and the way that that Mad Dog Mattis is able to bring about threats that are very, very believable. So you don't need to be someone who carries water to say, I will not criticize. I will not criticize. What you need to be is open-eyed. You can't, in other words, you can't walk around with a bad case of the Trump derangement syndrome.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk?
These are not words of sanity. These are the rages and the boasts and the madness that we have seen throughout history. Saddam Hussein.
I just love to remind myself that as he was saying this, he was in a basement office at GQ without even a window. Probably not even a drinking fountain.
Mussolini, Fidel Castro, Mao Zedong, Stalin, Pol Pot, Bin Laden, Hitler.
The Trump derangement syndrome.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm.
We take great care.
All the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
We take great care to only do this segment when it's a verifiable case, and this weekend we just had an explosion of these cases. I start over the weekend where Jake Tapper tweeted something out from ProPublica. Okay, so Jake, CNN, has gone really downhill as a journalist, in my judgment. He writes, stunning thread, awful. And he's retweeting something from ProPublica. So ProPublica says this: we obtained police reports and call logs from more than two-thirds of the shelters housing immigrant children. In the following tweets, we'll share some of the most disturbing records we found. Right? So Jake Tapper retweets that. Rick Wilson, who you'll see on MSNBC. Rick Wilson, I had on during the campaign early on to talk about how much earned media people were getting, etc. I know this guy, and I, God's witness, I mean, my hand to the Lord, Rick has gotten ill. I mean it. He was one of the most level-headed, smart strategists I've ever met. He's relatively legendary in D.C., but I don't recognize this man. It's one thing to criticize. He's sick. He's really troubled, and it's about the president. Rick Wilson writes back to Jake Tapper, and he misspells, but nonetheless, it's Twitter. May God have mercy on the architects of this GD horror, because I certainly never will. Remember, this was done by Donald Trump and Stephen Miller and the rest of their sick cadre for political reasons as a deliberate spectacle of cruelty. Okay, so they're talking about separation at the border, the families in the detaining areas. Jake Tapper writes back to Rick Wilson. These horrifying events happened under the Obama administration. Again, a guy like Wilson, apparently not reading the article because the dates are in the article. The dates of the call logs and police reports are in the article. So deranged is this guy I know. I don't know him well. I had a drink with him once in D.C. and I've talked to him on the phone. That's what I mean. This is an illness. So we don't do derangement syndrome a lot. Because I want to find the cases that are verifiable. Now, I don't remember Rick Wilson doing anything about Obama and his detention of families in much the same way that the president was forced to do this. Now, the president, what Trump did, which was different, is he took a zero tolerance approach. Yeah, he said, instead of tolerating 10% of lawbreaking or 20% of lawbreaking, we're just not going to tolerate lawbreaking. It's the strangest damn thing. Sometimes there are people who say, well, I think the law should apply. Other people say, I don't think it should. I tend to go with the people who say the law should apply because at that point, when it's applied evenly, you have a predictable and stable society. That's case number one. Case number two is Eric Swalwell. He's the guy who was a honorable vet, served our country very honorably overseas, combat veteran. Out of the state of California, he's making his reputation by being insane, by being outrageous, by saying things like, you shouldn't be allowed to own an AR-15, that's what I use in the field, etc. He went on the TV, because that's what these people all want to do, and he has a bad case of the derangement syndrome.
He did not tell his son to cancel the meeting. He did not tell the FBI about the meeting, and if anything, he further encouraged and emboldened the Russians to hack.
So, if we're to understand Eric Swalwell with absolutely no proof, he's opining that the president let Donald Jr. go have this meeting with the Russians, which didn't yield anything. Putting that aside, if we're to focus on his derangement syndrome, we are to believe that until Donald Trump got on stage and said to Russia, will you please hack? Will you please start hacking Hillary, and will you please start hacking the DNC, that they'd never given any thought to hacking anything? That's what we're to believe. See, this is the derangement syndrome. It absolutely moves out of your brain any common sense. The Russians did not wait for Donald Trump to attack the United States of America. They may not have reacted to the president at all. We don't know. Right now, to me, I think witch hunt's the appropriate word. I'm sorry. I've waited 2 years on this. I'm sorry. I've watched the disparate treatment between the two groups. It's as clear as day that Hillary was let off, and we all know that. Now we're repeating history. The derangement portion of this is to go on TV and think this in your head. The derangement extends to people who are continuing to say that the FBI is not politicized. Nothing political about this whatsoever. Say people who are suffering from this derangement syndrome. And yet, once again, over the weekend, Tucker Carlson has a bombshell that the FBI is still coordinating with the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Southern Poverty Law Center, who called Ben Carson a white supremacist. The Southern Poverty Law Center, who has called a whole set of Muslim women, women who were raised under Islam, women who simply don't want Islam to continue to be what it has become in the extremist form, women who are fighting against that, Muslim men who are fighting against that, labeled them all haters. You know about the Southern Poverty Law Center. The FBI is apparently still working with this verifiably left-wing political group.
In 2012, the SPLC inspired a shooting attack on the Family Research Council by labeling the innocuous Christian organization a hate group. Just last month, the SPLC paid $3.3 million for falsely calling the Quilliam Foundation, quote, anti-Muslim extremists. We could go on. The Southern Poverty Law Center lies. They are utterly reckless, and they're totally dishonest. With that in mind, it was shocking to discover, as jaded as we are, and this show has discovered it exclusively, that the FBI has a long history of collaborating with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Right. But they're not political. Right? It takes a derangement syndrome to believe they're not political. Lastly, in this explosion of derangement, Robert Mueller is now investigating the president's tweets. Now, we don't get to know how much money he gets to spend. We don't get to know his budget. We don't get to know how many people work for Robert Mueller. But honest to goodness gracious, Alan Dershowitz points out that they're trying to cobble together an obstruction case against the president because of his tweets.
Every civil libertarian ought to be outraged at the idea that special counsel, if this report is true, is trying to cobble together a case against President Trump based on his tweets and his public statements.
And I would just point this out. How do you investigate tweets? Can someone please turn me on to how you investigate tweets? From the text line 800-465-8770 on the 3D printed guns that Sideshow Bob wants to sue over or is suing over. Any sane firearm expert would not fire any of these guns. Yeah, the guy who invented them said he was surprised they work. I'm not jumping up and down to fire one. Todd, cartels don't need 3D guns. They have the they have the fast and furious weapons. Thanks, Obama. And last from the text line, 800-465-8770. I think you have it all wrong. Taking a story when you're a conservative and showing extreme outrage about it, not explaining that it actually happened during the Obama and letting them point that out. That's brilliant. I don't think Jake Tapper was trying to set anybody up on that, but thanks for the note. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Now that we've done Trump derangement syndrome, this has never been done in the history of the show, and I'm a little bit afraid. Now we're going to come back and crush a progressive myth, right? Sick of winning yet? Radio station didn't implode. This is Tom being creative with the bumper music. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. You can text us on anything you want to say. 800-465-8770. Y'all been a little quiet on Twitter. You okay? At Todd E. Herman. Just want to check in on you. So I've never done this back-to-back. And by the way, hold on. Stretch my lats. Because when you do features back-to-back, sometimes you'll come up lame. Just going on now. I'll tell you, radio, right? I always tell you, you got to stretch the hammies before you get into a monologue. So we just did Trump derangement syndrome. Now,
they're persuasive.
500 million Americans lose for their jobs.
Pernicious.
The debate is settled.
Preposterous.
The whole island will become so populated that it will tip over and capsize.
I know they speak French there, don't they?
Actually, I'm her husband.
That's why they're so fun to puncture every day.
But this, obviously, with 93 million people a day, it's just something.
Just check 93 million. Did you mean to say 93 million? That's a big number. Are you sure?
93 million, 93 individuals a day.
93 individuals.
A day.
On progressive myths, crushed.
Burger King is really making a play to get everybody's attention. Burger King has put out, I don't think they're trying to be social justice warriors. I actually think they're trolling social justice warriors. So they put this thing out about ending the pink tax. Did you see this? So Burger King they've gotten really good at advertising, really good at getting attention. So they've created this ad that says they're doing away with the pink tax. What's the pink tax? It's supposedly the tax that women pay because their products are going to be more expensive.
Would you pay extra for a pink box?
Don't have to get excited about it.
Do I look excited?
So people go into the restaurants. Do you want the pink box, the blue box? Pink box costs more.
I don't give a f- about the fact that the box is pink.
But when you go into the drugstore and you pay $2 more for your razor blades, you say something then?
We need to be able to tell people that I'm paying more, that we're paying more for the same product.
And men and women should be paying the same price.
It's stupid.
So Burger King is out saying, we're all taxed if there's a pink tax. So it's a very smart play, and I think the brilliance of it is that it calls out why the pink tax exists. Yes, women pay more for razors. Women pay more for haircuts. They pay more for denim. They pay more for services. Why? Well, it's clearly blatant sexism. It's misogyny. It's hatred of women. It's a great big huge scam by the white males who run this country to put women under their boot. Can't keep them in the kitchen anymore. Make them pay 19 cents more per razors. That'll show you women for getting out your place. Yeah, it's not it either. They will pay more because they will pay more. Now, if you are a dude, and I used to not be this way, I will go anywhere for a haircut if I have to. There's a lady I use down south. She puts a razor on my head and she shaves my hair back. If she's not there, I don't care. There's a sporting, you know, there's a sports haircut place and a good hair, whatever the hell. I don't care. I will, because I don't care about my hair, right? My hair at my age is short. I like it short. It's thicker. I like it thicker. I like it spiky. That can be done anywhere. Women, on the other hand, care a lot more for their hair. They will pay more for razors because marketers have figured out that women like razors with a certain handle. It doesn't cost that much more to make, but it seems to be easier to hold, or it seems to have prettier colors. And this isn't about talking down women. You could go purchase the men's stuff anytime you want, right? There's certain things for which I'm real loyal. I'm loyal to my people who work on my car. I'm loyal to people who work on my houses. I'm loyal to my doctors. You're probably the same. But the pink tax works because marketers have figured this out. Can I give you another example of a tax? It's the smart tax, truly. When I was working in D.C., I did a long, long project for Eagle Publishing. They owned Red State at the time and a bunch of other properties. They had a financial advice property they owned. And I met the people who did it. They were actually really smart people. And they were selling a financial advice product for like $250. It wouldn't sell. And I mean, they put a lot of work into this. They talked to a lot of people who are experts in real estate and resale, etc. It's really a good package. $250. They couldn't sell it. They were panicked. You know what we did? We raised the rates. Yeah, we took the package that had been $200, $250 or so. We raised it $500, $750. You know where it sold the most at? $1,000. Same data, same information. Sold better at $1,000. Why? Perception of value. Smart people were saying, you can't teach me anything worth knowing for $200. The pink tax, that myth is crushed. And we made it. Here we are. My favorite part of the program. Your emails and social media posts, your soliloquies, your longer messages to the show, because, you know, we do the text messages throughout the segments of the show. You ever hear anything you want to respond to? I got something wrong. I got something right. There's something I should know. Or just a joke you want to tell about the topics. Email 800-465-8770. Rather, text 800-465-8770. Brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. And you know me, I'm always on Twitter. And sometimes I'm on Twitter at night. It's a problem. I admit it. That's at Toddy Herman. We read those throughout the show. Longer stuff, therman@ktth.com or a message on Facebook. Start things off today with Leslie from Tukwila on gun storage. With respect, Todd, it sounds like you don't really agree with the Second Amendment as part of a well-regulated militia. You insist that you have the right to have the gun, but you insist King County does not have the right to regulate how you store that gun when it is not in use. Is your homeowner's insurance company okay with you leaving a loaded gun just laying around anywhere in your house? In my opinion, if you choose to have a gun, then you're responsible for that gun. If I choose to own a dog and my dog hurts other people or destroys property, then I, as the owner, should be held responsible if I'd not taken reasonable steps to secure and control the dog. If my dog is lost or stolen, then I need to take the necessary steps to notify the authorities and my dog is microchipped to make it more likely that the dog will return home to me if he's found by the authorities. I'm confused about why gun owners figure that they have all the rights but insist they have no responsibilities regarding their gun. Thanks for the note, Leslie. I don't know what you're talking about. And I wrote you a nice note back. I literally have no idea where you got this opinion of me. Literally. And it cannot be from listening to the show. It is impossible that you have listened to the show and came out with the opinion that I don't believe people should lock up their guns when they're not using them. I've said as much on the air. I've said you are irresponsible if you don't have a gun safe or a trigger lock. I prefer a gun safe. Okay, so A, let's start with you're wrong. You have no idea my opinion on this. Secondly, you mentioned my insurance company. That's not the government. If my insurance company is unhappy with me having weapons, I can choose another insurance company. Okay, so that's not the government. Lastly, you said that King County has the right to regulate how I store my gun when it is not in use. That's not what they're doing. The word "while in use" does not appear in this legislation. They say that your gun needs to be locked up. Leslie, do you lock up your dog when not in use, since you were trying to compare dogs and guns? They're not the same thing. Do you lock up your car when not in use? No, I mean, really, do you put like a wheel guard on it?
like they do with parking devices, so it cannot be driven? Do you remove the steering wheel? No. You take reasonable steps. You take the keys inside, right, and you lock them in your house. My house is a safe. No one is to enter it. Here's the difference. If someone stole your dog and then used it to attack somebody, you would not be responsible. If someone stole my gun and used it to attack somebody, I'm not responsible. I didn't hand them the gun. They broke into my house and they committed a crime. Now, to the point about having no responsibility, with all due respect to you, Leslie, and I really appreciate you listening to the show, it's very evident to me you've never been in gun culture, that you've never been to a shooting range or anywhere where people congregate and work on the firing arts. You'll never see people more serious about safety in your life. Why? Because we don't want to get shot by a greenhorn. I appreciate the note. I appreciate you listening to the show, but Leslie, I deeply beg you to actually listen to what I'm saying. I am very clear on my belief that people should lock up their guns. Adam from Kent on Street Art. Hey, Todd, saw your retweet of at Visitor Guidance art installation called Handy Visitor Tip Number 1. These straws are illegal. These straws, being syringes, are subsidized. My brother and I have had an ongoing joke about the public art of this nature in Seattle, too. Like putting a scale model of Seattle in a punch bowl of urine on the front steps of City Hall, decking out an ice cream truck in full taxpayer heroin truck regalia and driving it around. And my favorite, building a version of the Hammering Man sculpture called Heroin Man, where the arm is swinging a needle instead of a hammer. Adam, that's brilliant. Do it. Do it. Go rent one of those ice cream trucks for a day. Drive it around. Drive it through the neighborhoods. In fact, go up to where the city council people live. You can get maps of their homes. Go drive around their neighborhood. And in fact, hand out syringes. My understanding is you can go buy syringes from a pharmacy. Go buy a bunch of syringes. Hand them out. Oh, I love this. It's a great idea. But conservatives would do better if we acted on these things like the left does. Mike from Covington on political parties. Hey, Todd, why do the different political parties allow people to claim affiliation with a party when they have nothing to do with the party or the party doesn't like them? For example, Trump ran as a Republican. Is he even registered with the party? Democratic Socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is not a Democrat. Why let her run in the Democratic as a Democratic candidate? The same with Bernie Sanders. He's a socialist yet ran in the Democrat primaries. I don't get it. There should only be one election that the government pays for. There's no need for primaries, only the final election. Let anyone who qualifies run, but only allow a party affiliation if put up by the party. Everyone else is an independent candidate. Mike, thanks for the note. I'll give you an explanation of why parties do this. Because they want to win. Look, the parties are not about principle. And this is really, really important for people to understand. Here's the principles of the Republican Party. The letter R. That's it. Full stop. Letter R. Think of this. They supported heroin Dan Satterberg. And until he switched parties, they would have still been supporting heroin Dan Satterberg. If Sideshow Bob, our part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of gubernatorial campaign donations, decided to suddenly become a Republican, man, the Republican Party would say, well, he's evolved. We may not agree with him on some things, but he's welcome in the fold. The principle of the Democrat Party? D. Letter D. D to victory. That's what it's about. Their team's lobbyists getting what they want. The Republicans' team's lobbyists getting what they want. Sorry to cut it to the quick, but that's really the case, Mike. Appreciate you listening to the show from Covington. And Adam, Hall of Famer from Coopville on Rectangles. Hey, good afternoon, Todd. I remember you talking about those awfully expensive painted rectangles designed to let folks know where to dump off their shared bikes. I was wondering if these could serve a dual purpose and be areas where street people were authorized to dump other things. The feces, needles. That would make the streets and sidewalks a lot easier to clean up. Adam. Adam's a great note. I suggest that you also move forward with that and add some signage to these stupid rectangles that they're going to build for people to park their junk bikes. Lastly, Cheryl wrote to the Todd Herman Show on a Facebook note. Dear Todd, you said that we were the top story in Seattle Spirit because we had helped forestall this media cover-up of the stabbings in Bellevue. I beg to differ. Once again, you're too humble. The fact is, I know what you did. Sunday morning, you spotted the Seattle Times actually reporting the truth. You went back to the story later and saw that they'd hidden it. It was you who drew attention to this. I've looked at the other hosts' Twitters. I've looked at their other hosts' Facebook pages. This was your doing. We merely followed along and supported you because you're good at this. A lot of us don't have time to do it. Maybe you do, or maybe you are, just as you say, a little obsessive. I appreciate you giving us credit, but really, let's turn this back around. Todd, thank you for preventing the Seattle Times from hiding that it was a likely street person who stabbed those people in Bellevue. The distinction matters. Cheryl from Seahurst. Cheryl, thanks for the note. I appreciate that. You're very kind. Fact is, my tweet, without your retweets, would have done nothing, would have sat there unnoticed. All I did was gather the evidence and present it to you. It's the massive amount of attention you guys put on this that I think actually caused the Seattle Times to change course. All right, Todd Herman Show. We'll continue on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. So in addition to killing people, you know, the stupid trolley car, the 10 cars they've purchased now for $52 million that apparently don't fit on the tracks and are too big and heavy to operate on them, even if they did fit. There's a human toll besides that. Yep. More business killing from the lack of leadership in Seattle. That next on the Todd Herman Show.